My name is Mriganko, and I'm a postdoc at Iowa State University. So previous talks, I don't know how many of you are here. Maybe I can see a few faces who are just common. I think you have already watched Marshall and Rebecca. They already presented different topics, and we belong to the same group, but I will be discussing something else, okay? So don't think like from the same lab, same thing, okay? So this is on CRP. So the topic of my presentation is impacts of CRP or the Conservation Reserve Program on soil health. So basically, this study was actually started at North Dakota State University by one of our co-authors, that is Larry. So he started, and his master student, Jason, they started this study with carbon sequestration, okay? And the data that they received at that time, that the carbon data, so we wanted to extend that study. So we wanted to do some incubation study out of that. So when I joined this year in March as a postdoc at Iowa State University, so I continued that study, though my co-workers, they already started and I took over the study. So when I started digging up this conservation reserve program, so I'm like, okay, let me see what is this conservation reserve program, right? That's the first thing comes in my mind. So it's the largest agricultural land retirement program in the U.S., which was started in 1985 by the Farm Bill, and it was administered by USDA FSA, which is Farm Service Agency. And usually the farmers, they volunteer, so the government, they actually pay them the money so that they can grow their crops. And the crops, especially in this case the grasslands, because the major purpose of this CRP land is to convert the highly eroded, that is the environmentally sensitive croplands, and you can convert them to a permanent cover so that you can have a conservation practice so that there will be less amount of the erosion and you will get all the benefits, that is environmental benefit or the ecosystem benefits. So let's see what are those benefits, right? So here are the benefits of CRP, that it can prevent the soil erosion, it can improve the air quality, improve soil quality, the carbon sequestration, and which is important because that's how this study was started. It also protects the groundwater and the surface water by reducing the runoff and the sedimentation. So other than those, there are some unintentional benefits that we can get out of CRP. So another one is the wildlife habitat improvement, and you can see those pictures, those pheasants, they're flying, you know, they're happy. And the preservation and restoration of the forest and the wetlands. So despite these benefits, I came across this kind of news that, okay, goodbye CRP. And this result came out, the story actually was featured in Montana Outdoors in November, December 2010 issue. And I started thinking, why is that? So I found this kind of graph, that the CRP acreage actually declining. So in 2007, there was maximum number of acreage, but 2007 onwards, it started to decline. And I'm like, what is the 2016 data? So I found this one, 2016, which is around 24 million acres. And if you see that most of the states, they are kind of Midwest states, like all the Dakotas, Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, all these states, they enrolled maximum number under CRP. And the reason, why is that? So I started looking more. So I found that most of these CRP lands, they're getting converted into agricultural lands. And why? Because there's rising grain prices, especially the corn and soybean in Midwest. And the federal government, they're eager to increase the worldwide agricultural exports. I'm like, okay, well. So the corn and soybean, they're actually replacing the other crops, such as the wheat, barley, and the sorghum. And the areas, as I said, or mentioned in my previous slide, that the Dakotas, Nebraska, and southern Iowa, they were the hotspot of this change. So then I thought that, okay, how would this shift be going to affect the soil health? So that's my background, and that's how we started this study, that overall research goal and experiment that we studied across north central Iowa and southern Minnesota, which was designed to evaluate the impact of soil CRP on soil health, especially the carbon dynamics. And my specific objective was to understand the effect of CRP on different soil physical, chemical, and biological indicators such as soil bulk density, total organic carbon, and potentially mineralizable carbon. And also, I would like to know that how these indicators vary with time since the conversion to CRP. So as I said, the master student with Larry, he started, and he collected all these samples from these different parts such as Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Western Minnesota, Southern Minnesota, and North Central Iowa, and all they actually come under Payne's Prairie, not the Prairie Potholes region in the Northern Great Plains of the U.S. However, I'm not focusing in all these regions. Whatever the soils he collected, basically I'm using the soils from only these two regions, which is the southern Minnesota and north central Iowa. So here is my sampling method. So basically the soils were collected in the month of July and August in 2008 using a hand probe, and per plot they collected 5 subsamples and then they composited, which was representing the plots. And the soils were collected at 0 to 15 centimeter soil depth, and then they were analyzed for bulk density and soil organic carbon. And as you see, the right hand side, we have this chart where it shows that the different ages of the CRP. So when I will show in my next few slides all my graphs, you will see that zero represents actually the cropland. And in these guys, the cropland coming mostly the corn, because it's Iowa and Minnesota, right? I mean, my previous speaker, she already talked about that, okay, Iowa, Minnesota, you can only think about like corn. So all these things, other than that, we have these different years, like 2, 3, 6, and 10, 13, up to 40 years. And then we have native grassland, which is like more than 40 years. It's been a long time. It's been under grassland. And there are different numbers of samples that has been collected. So it varies from 12 to almost 42. So it becomes total of 241 soil samples were collected. So here comes my incubation study where I was involved, okay? So this study was conducted this year, spring 2017, where we took only 5 grams of soil, which was aerobically incubated, and you can see those centrifuge tubes where we have those 5 grams of soil, and the temperature was maintained around room temperature, which is 25 to 26 degree temperature, and it was incubated for 107 days at 60% water holding capacity. And then, if you see the bottom picture where I'm holding that centrifuge tubes, it has a valve through which we actually collect this CO2 gas, okay? And then we measured the CO2 and then delta 13 CO2 value using a trace gas analyzer. Now let's see what's our results. So this is our bulk density results. So my x-axis, that's the years in CRP, as I mentioned in my method slides, that zero is my cropland, then 2 years, 3 years, up to 40 years under CRP, and the last one is NG, represent native grassland. And my y-axis is bulk density. Now let's see how these numbers vary. So if you see that cropland, they are kind of least amount. It's around like 1.2, close to 1.2. And over the time, if you see, it's suddenly a little bit of increase. So what's the reason behind that? Because it was earlier, it was the cropland, now you convert it into a CRP land. So there is kind of like no tillage effect, there's a compaction, and it increased, right? But over the time, you see, it remained kind of same. And then from 25 years onwards, it starts to decline. Because now, the more you go, all these grasses, they grow, they biologically fix all this carbon, their root density increase, and they build up all this carbon. And that's why the bulk density actually decreases. So that's the reason here. So here is the concentration of the soil organic carbon. So soil organic didn't change much. If you see from cropland to up to 25 years, it didn't change much. It remained pretty much kind of same. From 25 years onwards, it starts to increase towards the native grassland. Now here is my incubation data. That's the respiration dynamics over the 107 day incubation. So my first graph, which is A, if you see, that's the CO2 production and it's the mean value. That first few days, if you see, that's the maximum amount of CO2 production, and that's the labile carbon. And if you see that the top one, if I show here, this dotted line, that's actually native grassland, and that's what you expect. The native grassland has maximum amount of potentially mineralizable carbon or the labile carbon present. That's why microbes are happy, they got this substrate, they start to produce all this CO2. And then over the time, as you see, it starts to decline. And our cropland, it is actually somewhere here. So the cropland versus, if I compare the native grassland, that's how they differ. Now I did the next graph, it shows the cumulative. So that was like mean, here is also mean, but cumulative over the time of incubation study. And it shows exactly the same thing, that my native grassland is always on the top, and the cropland is somewhere here in the bottom, and then all the 0 and 2 years of CRP lands. So they're like how they're stretched already, like 0 to 2 years versus my native grassland, where you expect that you will have more amount of CO2 production because of this potentially mineralizable carbon. And I always emphasize that one, that potentially mineralizable carbon, the bioavailable carbon that is present in native grassland. So previous slide was like more mean data. Now I've all like lump in all this data that I collected, all these 241 samples that I collected. So here is the trend kind of that the cropland is here, the CO2 production, whereas my native grassland here, and in between all these different CRP lands, which are in different years, they are staying there. And one thing to mention, if you see in this cumulative CO2 data, that the 10 years onwards, it starts to increase. I mean, I haven't done yet all the statistical analysis, but it looks to me like visually when I see this data, the box plot, that before 10 years, there is not much difference. There's a little bit of, you know, ups and downs, but from 10 years onwards, it actually starts to increase. And that's what actually happens in this kind of systems, that it starts to equilibrium kind of, it takes a lot of time, that okay, around 8 to 10 years, or sometimes even more than that, and then it starts to build up more carbon, and that's how it goes up. So here is my delta 13C values for my daily, first the mean values, which is the left-hand graph, and the right-hand graph is my delta 13C based on those mean values, the cumulative one, all my 241 samples. So before I explain those graphs, I need to mention that the delta 13C values for C3 plants, so in this case, the CRP lands, the grasslands, they are the C3 plants. So usually their range of delta 13 CO2 value falls into minus 20 to minus 33 per mil. Whereas the delta 13 C values for C4 plants, in this case that is corn, as I said, the cropland, it has the delta 13 CO2 value which is ranging from minus 10 to minus 18 per mil. Now let's see the data, okay? So if I come to my left-hand graph, see, here is my cropland, which is on top, so which is actually falling in my range. So it's around like 16, 17, and I see my range is around minus 10 to minus 18. So it's actually following the trend. Whereas if I come to my native grassland, which is at the bottom, which is not exactly minus 20 to minus 30, but it's close actually, minus 22, minus 21. Whereas my other CRPs, they are falling in between. And when I go to my right-hand side graph, exactly the same thing I'm seeing. That's the cumulative one. So with this, my conclusion is that the bulk density first increases, then decreases over the time. Total organic carbon didn't show much difference across the time in CRP, maybe after 25 years, a little bit increase. Whereas the potentially mineralizable carbon, it increases with age of CRP, especially after 10 years. Delta 13 CO2 value indicates that CRP grassland species are increasing the proportion of labile carbon or the potentially mineralizable carbon. And native grassland can be used as a benchmark for carbon recovery for comparison against nearby soils, which is under different ages of CRP. So that's a good point, that native grassland can be compared with other CRP lands, you know. And the PMC, which is a great indicator for soil health, which can be used for land managers or any policy makers in making management decisions for trading carbon credits. So with this, I would like to thank Jason, who collected all the soils. He did all the hard work. I'm just presenting his data, a little bit of his data. And I did the incubation study. Also, you know, without funding, no study cannot happen. So my funding agency, I really appreciate their money. And also the landowners who provided these CRP lands. And with this, thank you so much, everyone, for coming and listening to me.
We can take some questions.
Sure.
So based on the data that you presented, how long do you recommend that an owner have the land in CRP to see health benefits?
I was expecting this question actually. Because I'm also thinking about that okay, what will be the number that I can say? Honestly, it's hard to say, but as I showed my data that it's like 10 years onwards, actually it starts to increase. Sometimes actually when I was discussing with Larry about this, that okay, how many years I should go? He was like, you know, sometimes it can go actually 25 years. So basically longer you go, that's kind of my take home message, that longer you go, better you get the benefits. So initial stage you cannot get, like within 2 to 5 years or even up to 10 years, maybe you won't get that much benefit, or sometimes you might get. That'll be kind of my answer.
Just one comment on that question. I think it depends on the texture of the sample. Okay. Yeah, I just want to ask if anything can be done to shorten that time of, jumpstart the instead of waiting for 10 years, and have some like organic amendments that are more something that can be used to happen.
You can do that, but usually the cross CRP lands, I guess, they don't put that much of manures and all. So that's the thing. I mean, then it will become like manure land, crop land, right? I mean, I was actually presenting my previous talk. It was all dairy manure and all, and it boosts up, you know. But these are the lands where we don't add any manures and all. But yeah, definitely, that might help if somebody wants to do that. Yes.
Yeah,
the grasslands.
Mm-hmm.
They are like different plant species that they use. I cannot remember all the names, but yeah, they are a list of grasslands, I mean, grass species that they use. Yes. Yeah, you can go ahead.
So for your 13C results, there's a mixture of native grasslands vary in C3, C4 content,
mm-hmm.
latitudinally. Do you have a way to for that?
Yes, I have a way. Also, I don't have a way. I can say that. Because the thing is, the master student, when they collected all these samples, they're also looking for plant species. So there is another girl, she worked on the plant species. And honestly, I'm still not clear. I'm also like looking for that one, that, okay, why those in between, they fall into that. Because there is a mixture of C3 and C4 plants. That's why there's a mixed signature, kind of, I can say right now. But we are working on it.
We have the plant. So
yeah.
We can go in and say, this is how many C4 were on the square meter we sample from. So
yeah.
So do you have any story in depth before this land compared to this program, to compare the energy improvement or not?
I think he's...
Like baseline, you can compare, like after 10 years, after the
Right. No, I think he had that data. I mean, the master's thesis, they have already included all that data.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right.